Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethane. And today's date is May 2nd, 2018. And as we normally bring this show to you, you're broadcasting on the airways of Blog Talk Radio from your nation's capital via Twitter, Link, Facebook, and as the Z generation says, whatever. But we're live here on the airways of the worldwide net on the platform of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And as we usually struggle with our music intro, as we try to christen our show every week, our music introduction, but as you
I hear the song worth singing. I can sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Once again, back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know the motto and slogan for our show. If there's power in numbers, then the positive change purchasing cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. And this show is brought to you every week by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative at LLC, which is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, with increasing market share for African-American solar installation companies. To address the high economic effects of energy costs at our historically HBCUs, to utilize Black-owned farmlands, HBCU campuses to develop solar initiatives to bring down the under and unemployment rate of our young millennial and Z African American population around the nation, as well as educating the Black community on locally and nationally about the economic impacts on climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black Talk radio show programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. This show is also brought to you by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLS HBCU Radio Talk Show Initiative, and you can get more information on that by logging on to our website at Positive Change, PositiveChangePC.com. And for those who join to us on a regular basis, did you know that our call-in number is 646-668-2948? That call-in number, once again, is 646-668-2948. This show is also sponsored by Scott Communications, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production online and traditional, newspaper production online and traditional, speech writing, book writing, editing, publishing, speaker bureau management. For further information, you can contact Dr. Gwendolyn Scotton Bethay at ScottonCommunicationsNetwork.com. And as I indicated at the top of our show, for those who join us on a regular basis, You know that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And once again, please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. But as I indicated, we have a very, very exciting show for you today. And also, we have very, very exciting guests. And our first guest that we are blessed to have on board with us this morning is Mr. Bradford Everett with the Department of Energy and Environment for the District of Columbia government. He is their community engagement coordinator, and he's been charged with working with the Solar for All program. And without further ado, good morning, Brad.
Hey, Mr. Bethay, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have young folks on this show. This is what this show is about. It's called Solar Now in the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. And this, as you know, as one of the few African Americans who is working in this energy industry, specifically the renewable energy sector, there's not a hell of a lot of diversity in this industry, especially if you're not fortunately and blessed to be born in a city like our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. And as I say to our listeners, when black folks in Washington, D.C. catch a common cold, our folks everywhere else in the nation got pneumonia. And there are a lot of realities and truths to that, because everything we do deals around public policy and politics, and politics determines who gets how much of what, when, where, as the great former Congressman Reverend Walter Fauntleroy used to say, you know, even you participate in the game, or you be a victim of the score. You know, so that's therefore on what we decide we're going to do every day. That's why we have that music intro by one of our great African-American singers who is talking about life. Is you determine what you do with life. You know, it's in your hands. And as we know, you have a huge, huge, huge responsibility every day. But we want to get cut to the chase, because we want to bring this information to so our community can get more information on the Solar for All, which is the District of Columbia's new solar energy initiative. The district's goal is to reduce the energy bills of at least 100,000 low-income households by 50% by 2032. Now, families with income levels that meet the area median income will be able to qualify for this particular program. So I want to let you sort of take it from there, Bradford. Would you please sort of give our listening audience a little of your background and get right into the nuts and bolts of this program?
Sure, sure. So, again, thank you, Mr. Bethay, for having me. Again, my name is Everett Bradford. I work for the District Department of Energy and Environment within our Urban Sustainability Administration. I'm responsible for our community engagement and equity work. I've been working in the community, specifically in Ward 8, over the last couple months to talk up the Solar for All program. And a specific part of our program, one of the things that we're doing is working with the community along the Oxen Run to envision ground mount solar. So that's not solar panels on your roof, but solar panels that are actually in a field to at one point get to community solar, where about 300 to 400 residents will receive a 50% reduction on their bill, their electric bill, through a credit that they can access through sharing that metering. And so the Solar for All program is the umbrella under which that individual program falls under. And as you said, Solar for All is really our goal in the district to reduce the energy burden, or high cost electric bills for residents that fall at or below 80% of the area median income. And so the way in which you do that is to
please just one second. I apologize for that, for interrupting you here. But I want you to tell what the actual ingredients are for a household of four. I think it's $75,050. If you make under that, household of three, if you make under $67,550, household of two, if you make under $60,050, household of one, if you make under $52,050. Now, this is very, very important when we begin to discuss where you're going to live. If you are a Z or a millennial generation in the District of Columbia with the housing pricing of housing, it's even in Ward 8 and Ward 7 and Ward 5, where we still, I feel, have the most density with our African-American-based population here in Washington, D.C., here in your nation's capital. So if we could get on some of the issues, job, and you work very, very hard. I've seen you in action. So what I'm saying is, as this young brother's out in Ward 7 and 8, disseminating this information to our community, have you been getting any better response from the Z and millennial populations coming to your information sessions to get this information so they can explain it to the baby boomers who may be their parents who own the properties in the district?
Yes. So I'll put out there, I'm a millennial myself, and I think that the millennials are the next wave of homeowners in the district. And so it's important for, you know, pretty much all present generations to receive this information, because as you said, everybody doesn't make the same salary, and with housing rates going up in the district, one of the things that could either push you out or keep you in is the amount of bills you have and what you pay into your bills. And so if we could reduce the electric bill as one component of that, from the environmental perspective, that's a way in which we could help residents stay in the district. And so to receive solar at no cost to you, the resident, is a great benefit that you could, you know, actually make money off. Because as it stands right now, and if you own a roof in the district, it is more or less gold. And so really educating folks how to monetize their roof and make some money by adding solar to their property. And so, yeah, so, you know, in addition to the program, one of the big components of it is talking in plain language, figuring out ways to really get after what people want to hear. So perhaps, you know, you're not a energy wonk and you're, you know, your lingo is not, you know, in relation to all of the technical components of the program, but you want to get down to the dollars and cents. You know, why does it make sense for me and my individual household to put this thing on my roof? And that's how we have to begin to talk to folks to ensure that this reaches everybody and it makes sense. And so talking numbers is one of those ways that we've attempted to do this. And I think it's been proven somewhat successful. You know, really, when you get after the idea that you can receive this technology at no cost to you, the resident, if you fall within this income gap, that makes a lot of sense, especially when you have private companies knocking on doors telling folks, you know, you can get this solar and we'll cut your bill in half and you don't have to pay anything. But we also have to explain the catch. You know, what's the catch versus a private company and the government's program?
Yeah, well, that's where I want to sort of stop you right there, because what you just hit is a very important point. As I said, on April 14th, I had the privilege of attending the Soul for All Conference, which was held by Soul Neighborhoods United, DC Neighborhoods United, known as DC Sun. Most folks who are involved in this thing, they're familiar with neighborhood DC Solar Neighborhoods United, which was one of the grantees who received the $2 million grant from your agency.
Uh-huh.
What I want you to get to, Everett, I want you to tell people what they have to do if they meet the area median income. I think there's a website that they have to go to on DOEE's website, or a website where they have to verify their income. They have to make sure that they have clean hands with the district. What is the actual process? If I hear you saying, oh, the system didn't cost anything, but you have to apply and you must meet these criteria. So where do people go to apply and to give their information so that it can be verified, so they can move forward? Because I've attended about 7 information sessions that's been put on by DC Sun and Soul Neighborhoods United. Matter of fact, on May 24th, Harry Thomas Recreation Center, they will have another public information session from 6:30 to 8 p.m. on May 24th at the Harry Thomas Recreation Center at 1743 Lincoln Road, Northeast. Now, I know that DOEE puts on their own information sessions, and they've done some joint sessions, and I'm glad to hear you talking about the community solar aspect of this but what our people have to also understand is that when there are public meetings that are being held by the Public Service Commission and by the City Council on the renewable portfolio standards and on issues surrounding programs such as the Solar for All program, because I testified back in December in front of Council Mary Shelley about the support for the Solar for All program, being that this money is already coming from the D.C. ratepayers. If you pay a water bill, if you pay a gas bill, if you pay an electric bill in D.C., you are paying for renewable portfolio standards. And what that simply stands for is that a certain percentage of energy that is used by the consumers, because we are all consumers of energy, must come from renewable standards and sources, whether that be biomass, hydrogenetics, and we're not getting ready to dam the Anacostia River. This ain't Kansas, so with wind turbines, I don't see too many turbines, but we don't care about heat. We got plenty of heat here in the D.C. In the district, it gets hot here. So it just makes sense to what this young brother's saying, that we need to explain as to how and our people can plug in to take advantage of that. So could you share with the listening audience, Everett, how people this program?
Sure. All of the information could be found on our website. It's doee.dc.gov and backslash, so the simple slash that goes backwards, Solar for All, and that's one word, or it's spelled F-O-R, Solar for All. So I'll repeat that. It's doee.dc.gov, and that's / Solar for All, and that'll take you right to DOEE's website, and it'll begin to list out for you the program in its entirety, how to access it. As you stated, the one of the grantees and the amount of money they made they received from this program. So it'll announce all of the grantees and have all of the information and insights that are necessary for someone to begin to walk through the Solar for All program as a district resident.
Well, that is exactly the point I wanted to make, Bradford, because we need to be plugging our people into this program as quickly as possible, because this money is not going to last forever. And what has been very, very troubling to me, and we've had this discussion, Evan, the lack of participation that we're getting from the African-American community as y'all go around the city and provide these information sessions to our community. We complain and we talk about what the government's not doing, and we got valid and legitimate reasons as an African American community to raise those issues without question. But one of the things that I will say about the Solar for All program is that if you are living in Washington D.C., you are blessed beyond the realization, because you have all of the legislation and public policy legislation that in place. You have net metering legislation. You have a 50% renewable portfolio standard that means 50% of all energy by year 2032 must come from renewable sources. At the same time, having such a high renewable portfolio standard, that makes Washington, D.C. very, very unique, that what we call a use credit or kilowatt, a 1 kilowatt hour, it takes 1,000 watts to generate 1 kilowatt, well, in energy. Well, that 1 kilowatt has a value which can be traded. It's called a CERT, and it sells for almost $400 in Washington, D.C. Where right next door in the state of Maryland, they have a program called the TNI program. That if you don't live in a specific zip code, you cannot even apply, regardless of you meeting the 60% AMI, which is the requirement for this particular program. And if you live in Ward 9, and if you know, if you're from D.C., it's an inside joke. We refer to PG County as Ward 9, because so many of our folks born and raised in the district who used to be in the district, and they're now in Ward 9. So you can't apply for this program, but irregardless of what ward you live in, and if you meet the area median income and you are a homeowner and you register for this program, you can take advantage of it. And I think it's a tremendous blessing for folks who are low and moderate income, because you own this system from day one. This is a very important feature. This Solar for All program allows you to register this program with account with the Public Service Commission, and this belongs to you, and you are able to take advantage of those search values. Now, each grantee has a different twist, and I think that the only two grantees are Great Atlantic and Solar and D.C. Neighborhoods United that are actually doing the installations directly on residential homes. And I think they've targeted Ward 7 and 8, where a lot of this is taking place. But I know that Neighborhoods United have had information sessions in every session of the district. And I've been at these sessions. And our community, the African-American community, our people are showing up. So that is why I have this young brother on this airways, because his message in his voice and the information that he is giving out to a system that could cost you close to $32,000 and you can get it for free? But it's not free, because if you pay a water bill, gas bill, electric bill, you're already paying for it, so you might as well take advantage of it. Did you think I left something out there, Bradford? Is there something I missed?
No, I think you've been hitting the nail on the head, Mr. Bidet. I think the way you break down the numbers and just the practicality of it all definitely makes sense. That 1 kilowatt of energy that you talked about in the district that could potentially be sold for $450 is certainly the highest value in the nation. And like I said, that is the very reason why a homeowner or a roof owner essentially in D.C. has a golden roof right now, if you so choose to monetize it by adding solar to your roof. And so it just makes most sense for folks to really get after this program and take advantage of these benefits because, as you said, they won't last forever. And so right now the going is going and good. And so we really want folks to take advantage, really, you know, flood our website and inundate that space with inquiries. So,
please give that website out again.
Sure. It's doee.dc.gov, and that's /solar for all. Again, that's doee.dc.gov and /solar. Four, and four is spelled F-O-R, all one word, solar for all.
Well, let me say this so our people can understand the urgency of this situation. I went to Annapolis, Maryland, because I happen to be one who lives in Ward 9. And I'm not able to apply for this T&I Transition and Neighborhood Initiative program, but I am a baby boomer. So as most of you know, when you get in your 60s, you don't have to worry about too many returning your phone call if you're looking for a job. If you don't have a business of your own to create income of your own, you're on your own. That's just about what it is. They're looking for young folks around this young man's age that I'm talking about because they're young, they're educated, they're intelligent, and they are the ones out in this marketplace. But what they need to know is that anything, if you have saved money, you have made money. Now, right over in Maryland, the state legislature just voted down the Renewable Portfolio Act of 2018, which would have increased the renewable portfolio standards to 50% by 2030. This means in the state of Maryland, solar renewable energy, the renewable portfolio standard is capped at 5%, and they have full capacity. So a search value in Maryland is only worth $5 for a kilowatt hour. So if you put a system on your home, yes, you can reduce your energy costs substantially. No problem with that. And you're helping to deal with this issue of taking the carbon out and clean energy is good for the environment. But the issue comes down to not enough of our people participating in this process to let our elected officials know in the state of Maryland that if you increase the renewable portfolio standards to 50%, you create more employment opportunities because there's more growth for more solar initiatives in that market niche. The District of Columbia has all the legislation in place, and our people are still not taking advantage of these programs. Now, thirty minutes goes by so quick, man. I'm gonna have to have you back on this show because I have a scheduled 11:30 guest. I hope we'll be joined, and I'm gonna have you until we are joined by our next guest, which will be Chairman Betty Ann Kane, Chair of the Public Service Commission here in the District of Columbia. She scheduled to come on and talk about the regulatory agency for D.C., and they played a very significant part in helping get these renewable portfolios standards in place through our Public Service Commission, because they regulate the utilities in the District of Columbia. So our community, we need to know that we're paying for this already, Everett. Now, do you have something you'd like to close out with? Because I know I can't keep you any longer, but, I mean, 30 minutes goes fast.
Oh, no, certainly. So, again, Mr. Bethea, I thank you for this opportunity, and whenever you need me back, I am flexible. But I'll also say, I just second what you said, that folks really should take advantage of this opportunity to create a sustainable future for themselves and their families by way of solar on the roofs that they essentially already own. It just makes so much sense. And I can't say that enough.
Yeah, you certainly can't. Now, when will the next information sessions that you will be spearheading out in the community, out in the wards, 7, 8, 5, where will the next one be in date and time and location?
So I don't have a concrete date, time, and location because, as I said, I'm working on a project specifically in Ward 8 at the moment. But one of the things that I did want to mention is that we are in the process of putting together a package so we could release a series of six individual sessions with residents to talk about the Solar for All program. So all the way from the gaps to the successes of the program and put it out in a way that it reaches, you know, everyday people in their homes to interest them to join us in this effort to put solar on the rooftops. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been championing this program, but I've been beating, I've been throwing brick bats at the police cars around here trying to wake our folks up here, because that's the thing. It seems like if you don't start some commotion and the police show up, then our people will stop long enough to pay attention to that. We call them nosy neighbors. You know, they may not speak, but they see the police car parked in front of your house and in the block. Everybody come out the front door. If they don't come out, at least they stick their head out the window. You know what I mean? Because we try to make it plain on this show. And what we need to have our people understand is, it's just getting warm out here. It's going to be 90 degrees today. 90 degrees today. Well, people going to be putting these old air conditioning units up in these windows. The old folks, you got to go by and check on them. They're going to be trying to start them up for the first time. So people getting ready to turn these air conditions on, because we don't have no, for the joke ain't funny, a people called Scott Pruitt down here with 45 down at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, because I keep trying to tell everybody that's supposed to be not mentally stable ain't over there at St. E. on MLK. We got some MLK rejects now. I think we got one that didn't know it was one down at 1600, because they talk about ain't no such thing as climate change. But when you talk about a temperature change, I'm listening to the weather man this morning, Everett. They're talking about a 40 to 50 degree swing in one day. It's going to be 96 degrees today, my brother.
Yes, definitely. It's definitely going to feel like summer. And like you said, the air conditioner is going to come on, which means the bill will go up. And so
that's right.
While the sun is shining, those who have solar will benefit.
And those who won't, we'll be paying more to bring that air, and as they say on the court when the boy shooting your face and say, let's go back, ain't no air in that, you know. I mean, this is just as real as it can't get no realer than what it is. Everybody's getting ready to crank up these air conditioners, and this Solar for All program. If you get these solar panels, how is it getting the more money than it generates? Just let the son take care of B.I.Z. This Soul for All program is a very, very unique program, and is not available in too many communities that where our people occupy space in this country. Matter of fact, it's the only one of its kind and nature. That is why I know it needs to be put on steroids, replicated, and we need to get more money for buying radio and airtime on black radio, talk shows, newspapers, and black media outlets so we can advertise this program out here. Because as I know, the last time I checked, I'm the only one with a show of this nature talking about energy. And believe me, whether we know it or not, it has an economic impact on the bottom line of our community every day. And I want to thank you, Everett Bradford, for what you do every day. And I want to thank Tommy Wells over there and let him know he'll be getting my check in the mail. They can put my check in the mail because I'm still beating the drum over here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America.
Thank you, Mr. Bethay.
Thank you. And that was our guest, a young, dynamic, up-and-coming leader in our community, Bradford Everett, a community engagement coordinator for the Department of Energy and Environment. Now, I thought that we would be joined by our guest, the chairperson of the Public Service Commission. And I see that she has not joined us as of yet. But Commissioner Betty Ann Kane, we are going to take a small break here. We're going to pause for the cause, and we're going to bring you back. And as we bring you back, we will be talking, hopefully, to Betty Ann Kane, the chair of the D.C. Public Service Commission here in our nation's capital, here in Washington, D.C., and here on the airwaves of Blog Talk Radio. You know, our call-in number is 646.
Life is a song worth singing. I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know that this show is brought to you every week by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, which acts as a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation companies to address the economic effects of high energy costs for our HBCUs. to utilize Black on farmlands and HBCU's campuses to develop capacity for soil installation initiatives to bring down the under and unemployment rate of young Black African American millennials and Z generation all over this nation, along with educating the Black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts on climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And as we have discussed and said to you, this show is also sponsored by the BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. And I truly and strongly suggest that you go to our website at positivechangepc.com. That's positivechangepc.com. And you will be able to click on our GoFundMe link and you'll find a full program rationale for this radio initiative, which you are listening to that initiative right now, because this is the initiative that brings you solar for now and the future with its economic impact on Black America. This show is also sponsored by ScottandCommunicationsNetwork.com, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production, both online and traditional, newspaper production, online and traditional, speech writing, book writing, editing and publishing, speaker bureau management. And for contact information, you can contact ScottandCommunicationsNetwork.com. That's ScottandCommunicationsNetwork.com. And that contact person is Dr. Gwendolyn Scotton Bethay. Now, as we indicated, we thought that we would have Commissioner Betty Ann Kane to be here today. And she has not joined us as of yet. And we're at about 12 minutes into her interview time. But Betty Ann Kane is a member of the National Association of Regulatory Utility Commissioners. And she recently was just awarded a lifetime award, the Public Service Commission. Chairman Betty Ann Kane receives Lifetime Achievement Award. Public Service Commission of the D.C. District of Columbia Commission received the Lifetime Achievement Award at the 21st Annual National Energy Reconstruction Conference. The National Energy Marketeers Association presented the award for advancements in competitive energy markets for her outstanding record on public service to the District of Columbia and the energy industry at large. Chairman Kane also served as a keynote speaker discussing significant and recent legislative and regulatory issues in key restructuring jurisdictions. I'm very honored to receive this Lifetime Achievement Award from the National Energy Marketers Association, stated Commissioner Chairman Betty Ann Kane. It is essential that the energy industry continues to offer competitive energy markets to meet energy needs for consumers, as well as to empower them to make informed decisions about energy options. Okay? There, I can go on and on and on. But we are blessed now to have on the airways, this is Betty Ann Kane, Chair of the Public Service Commission. Good afternoon.
Good morning. Good morning. Sorry to be a little bit late in joining you, but I'm glad to be able to talk with you.
Well, I'm glad you were able to join me because I just finished reading to our listening audience about the recent award you won at the by the Energy Marketeers Association, and let me congratulate you on that Lifetime Achievement Award. But
I must admit,
Ms. Kane, I've known you over the years, but I didn't know how much of a warrior you were until I had a young man on from the who was a public director of public policy from Neighborhoods United, Glenn Brand, on last week, and he got to talking about the fact that utility companies since 1990 have spent $236,566,000 lobbying elected public officials, both federal and state level. And I think that the Public Service Commission, if I'm not mistaken, it was the power in the District of Columbia was granted in 1913 by Congress. So you have an awesome responsibility of trying to fight for the interests of D.C. utility ratepayers. And y'all have been doing some major, major heavy lifting at the Public Service Commission. And it's been and it's going under the radar. So I wanted to have you on today to talk about these the Manassas initiative, as well as the role of the commission that the district has restructured the energy markets, critical infrastructure concerns, and staff roles in authorizing reports and advising the commission on multiple capabilities, unique characteristics of the district energy delivery system, and grid modernization. How are you keeping up with all this, commission?
Well, there's me and two other commissioners, Richard Beverly and Willie Phillips, and we certainly do work very hard full time, but we also have an excellent staff at the commission of 84 people. We have consumer services people who go out into the community, will speak to groups, and will also answer questions and help individuals who call in with questions about their bill or their service. We regulate gas, electricity, and telephone. We have accountants. We have financial analysts. We have engineers on our staff who overlook all the plans that Washington Gas and Pepco have for, you know, putting in new lines and modernizing the system. And we have lawyers. I've got a dozen lawyers on the staff. So we have a very good staff, and we try, I think they all work very hard to try to serve the 700,000 residents and all of the businesses and government and institutions in the district. To make sure that we've got reliable, safe utility service at just and reasonable rates, and that also the utilities are able to earn the money that they need in order to keep the systems working.
Well, Chairman Kane, I know the last time I had you here to bless the airways of this program, Solar Now, the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America, the city council had your blood pressure up, and it was deserved that your blood pressure went up when they tried to move $7.5 million from that fund that's there, which is supposed to be helping low and moderate income residents in D.C. Reduce their utility bills by 50% by year 2032. Now, I was just sharing with our listening audience that the state of Maryland had just, the state legislature just couldn't find it the strength to increase the renewable portfolio standards to 50% in Maryland by 2032. It was defeated. So energy for renewable is capped for solar at 5% permanently until somebody else brings this bill back. But in the District of Columbia, D.C. residents have some of the highest renewable portfolio standards in the nation outside of California and a couple other, and they are blessed by having some of the highest renewable portfolio standards, but that comes at a cost. Because they, if you're paying a water bill, gas bill, electric bill, they're paying for these standards. Now, the York Commission just released $500,000 in unclaimed funds to help low-income residents with the WGF customers in the district. Could you please elaborate what y'all have just done? Y'all just gave money out to two very credible organizations to help folks with their utility bills next year. And I want you to talk about this because I'm looking at the Washington Urban League and I'm looking at another organization who have been basically charged with the distribution or getting this help out to the community.
Yes, yes. Let me first of all on renewable standards. You talked about Maryland, but in the district, the law was passed by the council. It is law. So the requirement is that at least 50% of the electricity that is sold by suppliers to customers in the district, at least 50% of that electricity must be generated by renewable sources. And that includes solar, it includes wind, it includes fuel cells and certain kinds of biomass that can be burned. So that is the law in the district. And we're getting, we go up each year until that 2032, until that 2032 time is reached. 5% of that is to be solar, primarily solar generated in the district. We're not up to 5% yet because it goes up a little bit each year until 2032. But you are right, it is expensive because there is not enough solar available in the district for the retail suppliers to buy. And when they do buy it, they have to pay for the renewable energy credits. And if they can't buy it because it doesn't exist, then they have to pay a fee. And the cost of all of that they paid last year, the people who sell electricity to people in the district, it cost them $42 million to comply with that law, with the current law. That $42 million, does get passed on to the customers. But that's the law. That's the council law. We don't make it up. And so that's what we're dealing with, and we're pushing very hard to make more solar available. On the $500,000,
I don't want to stop you, but you just knocked me out this chair I'm sitting in. You're saying that the actual fines that are being levied on Petco, which are then passed on to the ratepayers, came up to $42 million because of lack of facility in the District of Columbia? Now, does that cross all barriers? Because, we're talking about biomass, we're talking about hydrogenetics, we're talking about the cells. So, I think you said it was a 5% from solar. So how do we make up the difference from wind? I mean, this is not Kansas, and we're not going to put no dams on the Anacostia River. Right. So why wouldn't it be more? How does it get in this town? It's going to be 90 degrees today.
But let me be clear. The only energy that has to be generated in the district is solar. The law does not require the wind energy to come from the district, and it doesn't require the biomass, and it doesn't require the hydro from the waterfalls and all of that. That can come from any place in about a 30-state region, to tell you the truth, a 20-state region. It's only there's a particular portion. It's called a carve-out. And of that 50%, 5 of that 50% eventually by 2032 is supposed to be sourced from, supposed to be produced by solar that exists in the district. Now, we're not there yet. We're not required to be 5% yet, but there is a gap. And because we're not, there is still a gap, even what last year's requirement and this year's requirement is in terms of percentage. So that's why the payment has to be made. And even when the solar exists, they still have to buy with pay for what they pay a credit for it. They don't have to buy the solar. It's a little complicated, but the point is that, I guess the other point is that the money that is paid in the fee, and it was $24 million of the 42 went into a, excuse me, $26 million of the 42 went into a fund that the city's Department of Energy and Environment manages, and they are required to use that money to help people do solar. So the money goes back into a fund, but the ratepayers have paid it, but it goes back into a fund, and it's to come out and be used to help particularly low-income people do solar on their roof. So it's supposed to work out eventually that there'll be enough solar, because the money's being used to create it, that nobody will have to pay the fee and the cost won't have to get passed on like that. But we're not there yet.
We're not there yet. You make things very, very understandable and plain. But why isn't Channel 7, Channel 9, and every station in the media station down to get this information out to our consumers? Because I don't think that our community really understands this. I have gone to every public information session that Neighborhoods United, Mrs. Anna Schulman's organization, they've done 8 since they have been granted the funding for this Solar for All program. I've gone to, before you came on, Bradford Effort, very dynamic young African-American community engagement director that directed Commonwealth.
Right.
He was just on the show before you talking about what they're doing to get to work. But our community, the African-American communities, they're not coming out to these information sessions. And as I said to Bradford, I said, if you look at the baby boomers, who I'm a baby boomer myself, I'm of that age. I said, well, we need your millennials and your Z generation to come out to these information sessions and get this information and go back and explain it to their parents. I said, because most of the residents who are African American, who are elderly, are homeowners in the district. They didn't just buy these homes, they've had them for years. Because with the high escalation of real estate costs in the District of Columbia, these will be our communities in Wards 8, 7, and 5 that will be the homeowners. And they come out to these meetings in very, 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 very small numbers. And to meet the what the law requires to get 100,000, help 100,000 people reduce their energy costs by 50% by 2032, I can't see it happening unless there's major expenditures in media to advertise on black newspapers, radios, and I've been beating the drum about this, because this simply is makes no sense when you are trying to give away free solar systems that you can't get people out to the meetings to find out how to plug into the program. And I know y'all do a tremendous job with hosting meetings at the Public Service Commission. Matter of fact, you got one coming up, I think, is it May the 17th that you're going to be holding some public hearings?
We have a workshop, I believe, on May 17th. But let me say, I think, you know, the spending of the money that comes from these compliance fees, the Department of Energy and Environment, I think they've been doing a terrific job in really getting that money out the door. If you look at the map of where the solar installations are, the rooftop, it's all over the city. There's a lot in Ward 7, a lot in Ward 8, a lot in Ward 5. You're right, they're targeting lower income homeowners for the Solar for All program. Solar Neighbors United, Solar United Neighbors, DC Sun, they do a very good job of trying to get the information out to people. I know that the Department of Energy and using that money, they've several hundred homes they've done each year, and they're trying to ramp it up. But you're right, we all have a responsibility to see that more and more people know about it, know that they have the option to participate in the program and get the solar on their roof, and start generating some electricity they can use themselves and some excess they can send into the system. But I will give the Department of Energy and Environment a lot of credit. They really are working very hard to spread the word and to make the funds available to people.
Well, Chairman Kane, I know that they're working hard. I've had Director Tommy Wells on this show recently talking about this effort. I've had every grantee practically on this show. I've had consistently, I have representatives from Neighborhoods United, Ms. Schoolin. I've had Groundswell. I've had Mr. Herb Stevens with the Community Solar Project. So we have been beating the drum trying to make this platform here be a voice for, as we would say, the voiceless, talking about the issue of energy and its economic impact on our communities here in the DMV market area, because as Washington, D.C. goes, so goes the rest of the nation when you begin to talk about the African-American community. And I have been working with Dr. Harris of Howard University, and we've been working on an initiative that because they have the University of the District of Columbia, and Howard has about 274 acres of land in Greenbelt, and we have gotten a lot of proposals put together, but I guess we'll have to work through the politics with getting them to start moving forward with that, because looking at the timeline of these commercial and as well as residential 30% ITCs expiring in 2031, and the Black African American community, we have just not gotten the memo. So it's been a struggle to beat that drum around these issues, and I want to personally thank you for your leadership at the commission and what you do and the other commissioners do every day. Because as I say to people on this show, I just had the privilege of speaking with a Reverend Woodbury out of Florence, South Carolina, that heads a advocacy group, because I know you're familiar with the major fiasco, the nuclear plant down in Santee, where they've had to stop the constructions of that nuclear plant because the construction cost overruns was like 11 point something billion dollars. It was originally supposed to be $9.8 billion project, but in that process, they had nine rate increases, which once the stockholders and the investors weren't willing to make up that difference, then their renewable portfolio standards for solar in the state of South Carolina, they're capped at 2%, which I think is for renewable portfolio standards. And as we began to look at the Deep South, where you have, including Maryland, and we began to talk about the African-American population in this country, where 50% of our population, those states don't have renewable portfolio standards. And public service commissions play a key role in forming and helping to shape that public policy. So I can't say enough about the important role you play every day, Chairman Cain.
Well, thank you, sir, and we thank the D.C. the mayor and mayor's leadership also on sustainable D.C. Each state, you're right, each state's got its own laws and its own policies, and we're very proud of how progressive D.C. is, and particularly how we've focused the funds that come in to try to target them for the low and middle income households in the district, as well as businesses and small businesses. To encourage. It's voluntary. Nobody can be made to have solar. It's a totally voluntary thing, which you want to put on your roof. But we do like to be sure that people know that it's opportunities there and what the pros and cons are.
Okay, well, you have so much, there's so much going on there. As you said, the proposed Paramus addressing the $25 million from the Manassas subaccount fund established by the PepsiCo Exxon merger. And you did touch upon that in your interview here with us today. But is anything that's on the horizon that you think that our communities need to be at the Public Service Commission for the workshop on the 17th, I think, Our people need to get out and support that. What will be the time on that workshop? Is it open to the public?
I believe it's 10 a.m. I'm not actually in the office at the moment, but we can get the information sent to you and you can put it out on your website. I guess the only other thing I say to folks, you know, we're coming up now on the cooling season. You know, all of a sudden you had to turn the heat off on Monday and put the air conditioning on yesterday. And, you know, there's lots of tips on conservation. There's tips on cycling your air conditioner on and off and other ways to save energy as we're getting into you're getting into the hot season and wanting ways to keep the house cool, a programmable thermostat, which you can help, you know, turn it up in the when you're not at home, when you're out at work, and get it to come start to cool down when you start to come home. There's all kinds of for people, both on our website and on the Sustainable Energy Utilities website, to just think ahead now when we got about a month before it's going to be hot all the time. Think of some of those things. Get the air conditioner tuned up, change the filters, you know, get those shades and blinds in, and think about a programmable thermostat could make a difference in your bill for the summer.
Well, I want to thank you, Chairman Cain, for taking time from your busy schedule to join me on the airways of this platform, Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America, because when you do come on this show, you share information that our people need to be getting on a consistent basis, because we're talking about a $6 billion merger when Exelon and Pepco merged, and they made commitments to the District of Columbia ratepayers. I think it was somewhere around $72 million in credits, and there were $14.4 million that was supposed to be in a green fund. And there were a lot of different commitments made, and I had the privilege of asking Ms. Donna Cooper, who heads the Pepco here in Washington, D.C., if those commitments had been made. Now, I have to pose this question to you because everybody's saying that the commission had $32 million over there without a plan. But who's responsible for coming up with plans and for how this money is supposed to be used? Because y'all have had public meetings asking people to come up with projects to bring to the Public Service Commission on how they want to see these funds used. So, I thought that was somewhat unfair to the commission, but You know, I'm in the media too, so I've got to try to be as objective as I can, but I need to raise this question with you today.
Yes, you are absolutely correct. We have had a number of different workshops and meetings to get information and input from people on how we, the best way to spend both an $11 million fund from Exelon that is for energy efficiency and energy conservation in low-income multifamily housing, you know, apartments. And we have, I think we're going to be coming out with something on that very soon. We got a lot of good suggestions and had some good workshops. We have $21 million of for demonstration projects in grid modernization, energy delivery modernization. We are the next phase of that because it's a lot of money. You don't want to rush into spending it until you be sure that it's going to get the most use out of it. It is in a bank and it's earning interest, so it's not going to waste. We're in the process of hiring a facilitator. We're going to have some more real working groups where we can drill down on electric vehicles, on alternatives to building new transmission, et cetera. And I think over the next year we will be starting to put that money into projects. Yes. But we thank the community for the involvement, and there'll be a lot more opportunities to be involved as we go forward.
Well, I knew that, Chairman Kane. That's why when people said they have $32 million over the commission and they ain't got a plan. Well, I parroted that out of my mouth, but I was also aware of the fact that it was not necessarily true what was being said, because I've been at those meetings and I know that you got in contact with a young man by the name of Attorney Khalid Tareen, who has an organization called STEM for Us, which has worked with a number of STEM programs in the district and helping fund some of these programs all over D.C., working with our kids. And I know that you have been supportive of that. And I'm looking at the fact and looking down the road, I know PEPCO has submitted a proposal as to where the public EV charging stations will be located in the district. So I wondered why I had you on the air to find out, have y'all been making a ruling or finding on that? And also, how are we going to get more of our D.C. public schools and charter schools involved in, you have the Full Wall Center, for example, at 1125 Neal Street. They, if you're a D.C. resident, you can take an HB electrician free of charge there. They can't get enough residents to go in and take the classes. So these are programs that are being funded that we urgently need to be directing more of our young people to get these electrician certifications so they'll be able to participate in this industry, because somebody's going to have to wire these charging stations.
Yes, well, you've mentioned a number of other district agencies, Employment Services and Department of Transportation is working on public charging stations. It's a citywide effort. Mr. Bethany, I am going to have to wind up this interview in just a couple of minutes. I really enjoyed talking to you.
I would be happy to do it anytime. I want to thank you for giving me this much time. So is there anything you'd like to say in closing, Commissioner Kane?
Just to thank you again for the opportunity, and people can look on our website, they can look on the Department of Energy and Environment website, and particularly the Sustainable Energy Utility, which is dcseu.org, because $20 million of ratepayers' money is funding them, and they have some excellent programs, both for homeowners and for businesses, to make better use of their energy dollars.
Well, thank you very much, Chairman Kane.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
And you won't be a stranger on this platform, Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And that was Chairman Billy Ann Kane of the Washington, D.C. Public Service Commission. And they are the regulatory agency that regulates the utility companies in Washington, D.C. So if you want to know who the sheriff is, you just finish talking to the sheriff. She is large and in charge, and they have oversight and regulatory authority to regulate fine and with the People's Council in the District of Columbia, because our communities need to know who they must plug into when you get these utility bills, water, gas, and electric bills, and you can't understand why they're so high that you can't pay them. You know, you got to make a decision whether you want to have lights, have a way to cook, have air conditioning, or food in the refrigerator. I mean, and some folks it's that way. So we're not here to be cute about this thing, because this is a serious economic impact issue in our communities. Energy costs. Everybody got to pay the utility bills, okay? It's no joke. And that's a very, very, very serious responsibility wherever you are. And when you get a certain age and you on fixed income and you don't have a job, and you got to be, as we say, stealing from Peter to pay Paul, this is a reality in the African-American community on a daily basis. You know, I don't have to make that up. And what we're saying is there are programs out here that can assist and help people with their utility bills, but our community, they're not plugging into these programs. Now, I've raised the issue time and time again about this platform and me being able to get it syndicated through one of our radio broadcast networks. And I've been on these airways, and I've spoken and gotten the rates from Ms. Carolyn Johnson with Radio World. We don't have a problem with their rates, but we cannot afford to pay these rates unless we get sponsorship. And that is just the reality of the reality. So this information that we bring every day, if you think that this information is valuable information and it's information that should be reaching out to the ear lobes of our young Z and millennial and baby boomer populations, you need to go to positivechangepc.com, click on the GoFundMe link, and fund this program, because we have to beat the drum around the dissemination of information. That's the key. You have to have a vehicle to disseminate information to your people. And if you don't, you ain't talking about nothing, because there is no conversation. And on that note, we're going to try to take a pause for cause. We're going to come back, and we're going to shift gears on this platform, Solar Now and the Future, with its economic impact on Black America. And you know, our call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is
646-668-2948.
And we are here.
Life is a song worth singing. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what
what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Singing.
Welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you had an opportunity to hear from the chairman of the Washington, D.C. Public Service Commission, which is a very, very powerful agency with a lot of regulatory oversight here in the District of Columbia. And as Chairman Kane did explain in her own words, the Service Commission of the District of Columbia Commission ordered that the Washington Gas and Electric, WGL, to disperse $522,189 in unclaimed funds to the Washington Area Fuel Fund. Now, these are unclaimed funds, and I want to know how do people know whether they got money over there so they can go get it, so they don't get dispersed in the first place. But I didn't ask that question while I had Chairman Kane on the show. So that's one of the questions that I should have asked, but it didn't. But I'm looking at it and reading it, and it came to mind. So we try to make it basic on this show. It's called Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And the Greater Washington Urban League, the funds will be used to benefit low residential heating customers during the winter heating season. In 2014, the commission opened an investigation into allegations that WGL made a $2.4 million in unauthorized payments to a competitive service provider that over-delivered natural gas supplies. Now I understand they can get the energy from anywhere. You don't have to be in the district. You don't have to be generated in the district. She made that claim. Chairman Kane made that claim. So the energy doesn't have to be in the district. The wind turbine doesn't have to be. The dam doesn't have to be in the district. They can purchase this energy from those who have dams, who may have, it doesn't have to be in the district. So now you understand one of the key components of what Obama administration did. He said, well, you don't have to own the lines in order for you to transmit energy through the lines. And you pay a hookup fee for this. Now, due to the overcalculation of payments, the district ratepayers, WGL, will issue refunds of 33,590 inactive customers, totaling $452,924 in bill credits in the amount. These are cash rebates. Then in bill credits, it will be $1,457,579 to 73,268 current customer accounts. However, WGL reported that the total of 522,189 remained unclaimed. This prompted WGL and the Office of the People's Council to recommend to the commission to donate the unclaimed funds equally between SF in the Urban League in the amount of $261,950 each. They got, each got $261,000. That's quarter of a million. As a condition for receiving the disbursements of funds, the Urban League must submit annual statement with WGL indicating the number of low-income gas customers who received the funds in D.C. and the average amount each customer received, and directs WGL to disclose the funds in 15 days of the order. They got to do this in 15 days, people. So y'all got to get on. If you're going to have some of this money, you're going to have to move on this, okay? Now, this information, and you have, will be on the Public Service Commission's website. And there is a contact person there, Ms. Kelly Dedigu, who is the media relations specialist, and her number is 202-626-5124. That's, once again, 202-626-5124. Now, she's pretty good about getting back to folks. So if you got any further questions, but the questions I have were answered in me reading this information. So I don't have to ask the commissioner. This is already answered in this article. Now, you can get this information by logging on to where? PositiveChangePC.com. Click on News and Events, and you will scroll down. It will say Public Service Commission directs over $500,000 in unclaimed funds to help low-income WGL customers in the district. I don't know any place else you're going to get this information. I bet, and I know, that we bring news that you can definitely use. And today's show, there are a number of other issues that need to be discussed, but I'm just going to hit on a couple of topics under our news and events link before we close out our show here today on Serving Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. You're going to want to get to our website at Positive Change. Positive, PositiveChange, P as in Paul, C as in cat.com. Once again, PositiveChangePC.com, and you want to click on our news and events link, and under there you will see Public Service Commission directs over $500 million in unclaimed funds to low-income WGL customers in the district. The Powell Local Green Jobs Campaign talks about what's going on in Philly right now as they fight over renewable portfolio standards. And there's a campaign history going on with what's going on in Pennsylvania and specifically what's going on in the city of Philadelphia with their fight against Pepco. So there's so much information in our news and events link section that we strongly recommend that you go there. And you'll find this information talking about the PACE workshop that will be coming up here in the DMV market area. AAB launches the world's fastest EV charger. Utilities monopolies keep their power by keeping elected officials in their pockets. It's time to fight back. So these are just a few of the topics of discussion that you will find on our news and events tab through the platform of Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. And as we say on every week, we hope that we brought you news that you can definitely use through the format of Blog Talk Radio on the World Wide Web, broadcasting an awful
song worth singing.
I do too.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. In the palm of your hand,
use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Singing,
I got you.
Sing it.